Well, becoming a professional bass angler takes a lot of work and dedication, but it also takes, you know, the ability to get along with people and do a lot of neat things around the sport. And with me today is Joe Thomas. And Joe, man, I tell you what, you're a professional bass fisherman. Next thing I know, you're hunting and you got the ultimate match fishing show. You got all this stuff all going on at the same time. It's got to be busy for you.
Yeah, you know it is, but I kind of like it that way. I'm one of those guys that like to have, you know, time to do 50 things and half to do 100, you know what I mean? And it just keeps me busy, and I like it. I like, you know, I like new things, new challenges, and we're definitely doing that.
Well, way back when you won the Redman All-American, which was a big deal for you, and then became a professional angler after that, and a couple of stories I remember about you is how close you came to making the Classic a couple times was the first guy out.
Yeah, like four or five times. I was like, what's that guy, Fran Tarkenton, you know?
Close, but never
couldn't win the big one. Couldn't make the big one, you know?
Well, what's that do to your psyche? I mean, it's got to kill you because you're right there in the hunt, but then you didn't make it.
It was hard. I mean, being the first guy out of the Bassmasters Classic, yeah, for, I think, four or five years, times over a 12-year period. And I made it a few times, too, you know, but it was, that was rough. It was like, man, why set yourself up for that big fall? And, you know, you'd go into that last event or the last day of that event, and you know what you had to get done. And a lot of times I think it does. It plays on you mentally, and sometimes it may have affected me.
Well, you know, you've got Angler on Tour, which is a phenomenal show. And then recently, you know, of course, Ultimate Match Fishing has just taken off. But, you know, there's been some things I think that's misread. I mean, you and I have talked about this before, so I'm not telling anybody anything out of school.
Right.
You know, the Luke Clausen, you know, when he bit the line of Brent Euler.
Yeah.
You know, that was just in fun. And then all of a sudden you see all the controversy on the web and all that kind of stuff. I don't understand sometimes why we take things too seriously, but, you know, kind of give me your take on that.
Well, first of all, let's start with the incident at hand. You know, Luke was playing for TV. They were having a good time, and it went bad. It really did. He thought Brent had the fish in his hand and was going to just, he'd bite the line as a joke, and he'd drag the fish over the side and they'd have a good yuck over it. Well, somehow or another, you know, Brent lost control of the fish right at the same time Luke was doing that, and then Brent fell in. Luke did push him, but Brent fell in. The comedy of errors made Luke look really, really bad, and even though he explained himself on television, we gave a chance to, we posted an explanation on the website how we saw it, even the things that weren't on camera. But, you know, you're going to have some people that they just, you know, that they didn't sit well with. And the one thing I want to point out about Ultimate Match Fishing is we put, on Ultimate Match Fishing, we air what really happens. Contrary to all the threads you read, that it's orchestrated, that I force these guys to do these things, it's fishing. You know, it's fishing. I had a guy email me yesterday, said there's no way both those guys caught over 20 pounds and it came down to 6/100ths of a pound separate. You guys orchestrated it. You guys fixed it. I'm like, yeah, I fixed it, and I had something to do with Watergate, too. You know what I mean? It ain't going to happen.
No.
I mean, you watched it. You saw the fish being caught. You can't make that up, you know? But getting back to that incident, match fishing is edgy. It is edgy. I think there are some lines that probably should not be crossed, and we have implemented a few rules to keep those things from happening. But overall, boat spins and boat positioning and being able to set a guy down the fourth quarter because he strategically took first and third instead of second and fourth, those kind of things, that's all strategy. That's what makes that show so unique, you know, and I like the way the show is. I don't want to change the show, but I just got to make sure that, you know, we keep it in check.
Well, and I think, you know, the guy that took the brunt of the beating there was Luke, and those of us that know him know he's a great guy. He's a lot of fun, and he really has a sport in mind, and he was just trying to have some fun, and of course it went the wrong direction. But I want to make sure people know that Luke is not a bad guy. He's not a mean guy. This was not something that was set up. It's just something that happened, and he's a great guy, and he's a great participant in our sport.
Absolutely. I mean, he's one of the top competitors in the game right now. He was an excellent competitor, champion of match fishing last year. We've got nothing but praise from him from his first season, you know. I mean, it's just one of those deals. But, you know, people always remember the one bad thing a lot of times instead of the 500 good things that people do. And I think that's a shame. And, you know, it's like anything else. The dust will settle and people will kind of move. Everybody will move on. And the cool thing about it, Luke's always going to be a great fisherman. You can't take that away from him.
No, and he's a great guy on top of it. Well, you know, as you look at this thing, now you've got all these sponsors and everything are going. It's really going in a positive direction. And I recently saw, they happen to be signed up with us as well, AES Eyewear, you know, and I looked at this and I'm going, you know, they've got licensees for, you know, a lot of the colleges and some of that kind of stuff. I wonder how good these sunglasses are. And then I see Joe Thomas and Edwin Evers and all these guys wearing them, so I knew they had to be pretty good. But give me your take on the glasses, if you would.
Well, the first thing I'd like to point out is they truly do get the job done. You know, they talked to Edwin and I when they were prototyping these glasses. And, you know, the lenses are a very sound lens. They're a great polarized lens that gets the job done. They have a couple of different price points. We wear the higher price point glasses, but even then, you're looking at $49.95 to $54.95 glasses. They're not going to break the bank if you lose a pair. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the styles, I think the styles are designed. The Erie frame I designed basically had a lot to do with the Clearwater characteristics of Lake Erie. We call it the Erie frame. And Edwin designed a frame that he liked. And you know, they listen to us a lot, and I think that's important. But we've also got those all those glasses. Not everybody can even afford $50 for a pair of glasses, and they're more under that in that $20 ballpark. And we've got a line of those that fall into that category. But even those do a really, really stellar job. I mean, the thing is it's like computer software. You know, it gets better, but the price comes down. Glasses are doing the same thing. You're seeing a lot of these great lenses get built you know, less expensively to where the average person can find them. I think AES is the first company that's really done that. And then they stepped into the hunting market and built a licensed camouflage series of glasses that your turkey hunters and your bird hunters and people like that can use and still have that camouflage look and feel to it. And, you know, and that's kind of cool for hunters too.
Well, no doubt about it. And, you know, one of the things I think is neat from a marketing strategy is when you go out and you look at a pair of sunglasses, it tells you, based on the kind of face or head style that you have, it tells you what pair really will look the best. You don't want these little thin ones if you got a big face or, you know, it just really, I think that's kind of unique in its own right.
Yeah, they thought this thing through. And, you know, let's face it, the guys at AES, they are hunters and fishermen, and that has a lot to do with it. You know, a lot of these companies are founded by golfers and surfers and people like that, and there are a lot of those in America, don't get me wrong, but if I'm going to wear fishing and hunting glasses, I sure would like to have the people behind it being hunters and fishermen and knowing what we need. And again, I keep pointing out, they produce them at a reasonable price point that the average person can afford. You don't have to spend $200 to get a good pair of glasses these days.
Well, I got to ask you, you know, as you progress through this, you know, of course, you recommend a lot of good products out there. You have for a long time, but I want to shift gears with you, okay? I hear about this Mr. Moose, you know, this Pope and Young Moose. You know, when you shoot a moose, it's sort of like shooting a car, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and he's got his he's in gear and he's moving, which is kind of crazy. But I just got back from you know, we actually have a Midwestern show that we run throughout Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky that we do a lot of hunting on, and I still film quite a few episodes for that. And we went up to British Columbia, Canada last week. We were there for 2 weeks actually, and filmed an archery moose hunt. I'm a big avid archer. That's just what I do. That's my pastime. I love the bow hunt, and I took a great moose. Saw about 26 bulls in 10 days, and had a lot of opportunities, and saw some really cool stuff, and took a moose that's going to make the Pope and Young book. So I was pretty happy with that.
Now, what does this thing weigh?
Well, you know, on the hoof, you always guesstimating, but I would say minimum, because he was a real horse. 1,500 pounds, I would guess minimum. I know that it took everything that two of us could do just to turn his head for the camera.
Well, you know, you think about shooting an animal that size, and if those people that have seen a moose and, you know, live walking around, that's probably the biggest animal I've ever seen, you know, in the Midwest anyway.
Yeah, you know, I took a free-ranging bison with my bow about 3 years ago, and it was over 2,000 pounds, and it is the biggest North American animal. But that moose, when you tack on those 51-inch wide antlers... He's a lot more intimidating looking, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, a buffalo is the dustiest animal. I'm going to give it the dustiest. I think if you knock the dust off a buffalo, he'd probably weigh about half what he does.
You're probably right. You're absolutely right. But, you know, I like getting close and personal to those big guys. You know, I'm not always successful, but I hunt hard, and I love putting it on TV and showing people my experiences. And that show, it's called Real in the Outdoors, and that's what it is. It's just about, you know, letting people, you know, come along with us while we hunt and fish around the, you know, around the country. And it's kind of cool. And like I said, last week was kind of a dream come true. I've always wanted to take a moose with my bow, and I got to do it.
How far away did you shoot this animal?
22 yards.
That's pretty close. I mean,
his breath.
Yeah, and I bet you it didn't smell too good. It probably smelled like wild onions or something.
No, but it all went good. Good, clean kill, and you know, just everything went really well. The only thing, if I had to do it all over all again, I would definitely import some sunshine, because northern B.C., I think all it does is rain and snow.
Well, you know, it's really a neat opportunity as an angler. You know, you got a name as a pro fisherman, and you keep just building on that name, and you've got to be really proud of where you've been and what the future holds for you.
Yeah, I am, and, you know, in the TV and the diversification into hunting, I've always wanted to make my living in the outdoors. That's the bottom line, and it's provided a really good living for my family and I, and I've been doing it for, this is my 26th season. As you know, I changed to the FLW Tour and Series this year, and, you know, that was a big change, but it's been a positive change. It's gone well. Actually, I've got one tournament left next week at Pickwick. I'm 13th in the FLW Series, and I've got a really good shot at making that top 30 and making that championship. So I hadn't made a championship in a few years. That'd be kind of a cool deal for me.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb, and you're going to make it, Joe. We're not even going to worry about that one out of the bubble thing anymore, and you're going to make that FLW Series championship, and it's going to be fun, man. I'm looking forward to seeing you there.
I appreciate that.
Well, I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.